Yes, sir.
Thank you, Charlie. Good afternoon, everyone. It is May 1st, 2024, and this is a collective bargaining session between the teams from the UCF chapter of the United Faculty of Florida and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. And good afternoon to everyone. The first thing that we'll do, Charlie, I'll ask that you put up the minutes from our meeting on April 17th.
Doing the headboard, okay.
That looks right to me, Talat.
All right, looks good to me too, yeah.
All right, thank you all. It looks like we've got our minutes from last time approved. The next thing I wanted to do, Talat, as I mentioned in the email I sent you this morning, is just give you a quick update on Article 23. The president and the provost are still in the process of meeting with the deans and other division leaders at the institution, and they are taking to heart what you've asked. They're looking for the money. So we don't have a response at this time on Article 23, but the types of activities that we have suggested would be happening are indeed happening. And, you know, we look forward to coming here soon and being able to share a proposal for Article 23. At that time. And
do you have any idea, Chuck? Do you have any idea when would that be?
I'm sorry, I don't. I don't. What I promise you is as soon as I'm able to bring something, I'll bring it. I'm not going to hold it close to the vest. We'll get it out here as soon as we can. What I'd like to do procedurally is show you an article that would be for the new full book, for the 24-27 full book. It would actually, in all likelihood, it will be a version of Article 23 for the 24-25 fiscal year, academic year. And to cover 23-24, what I intend to provide is just a paragraph that says, for that academic year, there were no raises, no one-time payments, just so that everything's covered. There's documentation in our CBAs of everything that takes place. So that's kind of the plan that I have. So we'll really be trying to propose something that would be the first Article 23 covered in the next 3-year period.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't, when you say the next, that will also still be an article that's open every year, but not that you're going to be agreeing on raises for 3 years.
I don't have any information that says we would be doing anything for more than 1 year. If I'm given that leeway, if I could come here and offer you something for more than 1 year, I will certainly do so. But I guess we ought to kind of assume that we'll be meeting each year mm-hmm. to talk about the salaries article. That's probably what will happen. Okay. The next thing that I had suggested for our agenda, Talat, was to talk about Article 5. Your team had made a proposal for Article 5 that included a paragraph that we just simply couldn't agree to. And our proposal is to go to status quo on Article 5, the academic freedom article. And we appreciate the spirit that went into the proposal, but it's just something that we can't accept. There are too many potential pitfalls for the university there. So we want to stick to the status quo, and we propose that to you as what we do. And I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think we can we can have a short break later, or we can come back to you next time. That would be fine. Yeah, I think we did discuss it last time. So
yeah. What I'm going to suggest, I'm getting a lot of pressure from my team. People like Charlie, who wore her track shoes today, and reminded me that I said that we needed to have our track shoes on. So I'm hoping that maybe we can take a caucus later on and address Article 5. Because I'll just be honest, I don't see much room for us on Article 5. Yeah. We want to affirm our longstanding support of academic freedom. It's just the additional language, while we understand why there would be interest in that language, it's just something we cannot put in Article 5. So hopefully we can agree to status quo, but certainly no change.
Right. And the language that we propose, you, and the reason for not including it is because there may be some issues with that in terms of how it corresponds to some of the state laws. Is that the reason?
That's one thing. There's also the possibility of creating some First Amendment issues. And frankly, one of the things that we think would also come up is there'd be disagreement among the faculty on what position the university ought to take, and on some issues. And if the university were to take one, we could be subject to grievance because we didn't do what they said according to that paragraph. And then if we change it, okay, we'll take care of that. Then the other side grieves us. It really would put us in a tight corner.
Because of this, that can get us in trouble. That's what you're talking about. But in spirit, you stand by supporting academic freedom.
Absolutely. We're proposing no changes to Article 5. We stand firm on our support of academic freedom. So hopefully we'll have a chance in a caucus.
Yep.
And because Charlie's wearing her track shoes and
yep.
reminding
and,
us.
And we're hoping that you'll give us a couple others that we could also do that to.
Well, that's what we're going to work on.
Okay. All right.
That's what we're going to try to do. So, I guess from time to time, I'll probably repeat something like that. That it's, I think if we want to get to the point where we can not only propose a salary increase but implement a salary increase, we need to get some work done on this full book, and that's certainly what we're trying to do. So, and I know you are as well. I just don't want to lose sight of that.
No, that's right. And I have a list of this morning of all the articles that are open, and also the ones that we have proposed that they can be TA'd. So we still have some of those.
Yeah, right. So we'll get through.
We can go through that sheet.
Okay. And then the next thing I wanted to ask about is we had some back and forth about Article 16, the discipline article. There were a number of, I think, relatively minor changes that we had proposed that you had agreed to. And there's really one thing in Article 16 that we have not finalized yet. And I think we're very, very close. And I'm going to ask Charlie if she would to put up Article 16. These highlighted things, Talat, are things that we had agreed to before, and it's on the, mm-hmm. I think it's on the second page of.
I think we disagree on one word from what I remember.
Well, maybe not one word, but certainly one paragraph, maybe one sentence
It's a half a sentence. It's not even a sentence.
And the thing that we had talked about was some of the challenges it creates for us when employees may be subject to termination, and there's a required 6-month notice period unless certain conditions are met. And as we had explained to you before, that by the time we get to a recommendation that we're trying to terminate an employee, this isn't just some minor occurrence. There's either a very major egregious violation, or there's been a series of things that have happened and the employee has been subject to progressive discipline. We just think this is the next step. You had very kindly changed some of the wording of this and what you had proposed, so that if the president and the president's representative determine somebody's not going to interfere with the operations of the university, it's not a safety issue, that they would get six months. What we're proposing is sometimes 6 months may be okay, but there are going to be other times when a semester ends, for example, during that period. And what we're asking for is just to change that language to up to 6 months. That we you know, I think we both recognize there may be occasions where it makes sense, even though somebody is due to be terminated, there's a reason to hang on a little while longer. But that extra time isn't always exactly 6 months. And sometimes it's a little bit shorter than that, so that somebody can finish a course, or maybe it's a project. I don't know what the circumstances might be. I don't have an example. This doesn't come up. Fortunately, we don't have lots of examples of terminations, but there have been some cases where there have been pretty egregious violations. And we had no choice but to go with 6 months. So that's what we propose here, is to go to up to 6 months. And we think that would be, we appreciate you coming toward us on the language. We appreciate the proposal. I think this would make it very workable from our perspective, just to have that flexibility that it's not, 6 months isn't always the answer. That we need to do something that makes sense.
Yeah, the only problem is, so I do understand what you mean when we're talking about, you know, like we wanted the individual to complete the semester and then so on. But so when, if we leave it, would be given up to 6 months. We'll have to talk about it in caucus, because so before it was basically that they were given 6 months, right? They were of at least 6 months. And here you're saying that it would be up to 6 months. I mean, what we have right now is that the president can terminate if it is egregious, it can be terminated right away. But in cases where that is not the case, the person is given notice of termination of 6 months, of at least 6 months. Now,
yeah, and the 6 months has been kind of the standard. That's the way things have worked out, that it's typically been 6 months, and sometimes that's just not good for any of us if that's the case. So in some cases, and as we've both mentioned, the idea of finishing a course, for example, that might be a case where we would want to exercise this. But the 6 months may mean that someone finishes a course in the spring and they have to be carried over into a portion of the fall, and they're not able to be assigned anything to do, yeah. Really, not, at least not able to teach.
So I do want to understand this. I you know, I'm almost as much interested in getting things done. So if the termination, this is, we're talking about a tenured appointment, right? And then we're talking about termination for just cause. And just causes are actually pretty well defined. Right?
It's
So,
misconduct or incompetence.
okay, so it is the incompetence that, so misconduct, if it is misconduct, then yeah, incompetence or misconduct, right? Okay, so and this I think now is going to fall also with the PTR, right? Post-tenure review.
Yes.
Right. So basically, and the post-tenure review then, are we going, you know, that we are discussing under Article 10.
Correct.
Okay,
There,
because
excuse me, there'll be some information relative to the post-tenure review that we intend to bring up when we get to Article 10. Yes.
right, because you know, misconduct, I have a few, you know, again, are there cases of misconduct where the previous rule applied that they were given 6 months? If there's misconduct, there's misconduct, right? I mean, that's pretty egregious. Is that right? Or are there cases?
Well, I tend to agree with you, but sometimes as we went through the process, that 6 months, because it was stated in such a way that it's sort of the default, that made that difficult for us, even in cases of
Right.
fairly egregious misconduct.
What I'm 6 months is that it leaves you the option of just giving 1 month, or you know, or how do we that 6 month is a period, or it should be 4 months, 3 months. I mean, it doesn't give a lower bound. That's what my worry is here. That these are cases where the employee's actions do not adversely affect the functioning of the university. And this is obviously, well, even in, I mean, incompetence, I don't know, I don't know. So I think we're getting, and what you had before was that you didn't, what did you propose before in your first version?
I guess
You
I
want me
don't
to
have
bring
that.
that up, Chad?
If we've got it, yes.
All right, let me go back to the previous Article 16. This is just the previous one.
I think we just had to strike it.
Ah,
That's
then
what I.
you were going to cut that out. Okay, I see. Okay. And you
I'm
didn't want to
sorry.
talk about any. Okay, I got it. I got it. Yeah, okay. So what you're saying is that they may be given up to 6 months. That's what we're talking about.
Correct.
But what recourse do people have? You know, I mean, there's an arbitrariness here that's bugging me.
Well,
But again,
what employees have, is the option to grieve.
okay. Well, this is also probably, does anybody in the bargaining team have anything to say? Robert, do you have anything to say if you're not,
I'm also concerned about the no minimum. For instance, it could be 2 days, and that's problematic. So I think we definitely have to caucus on that. But what do you think, Robert?
keeping in mind that exists now, but there's a new determination that ability does exist now.
That, that okay, go ahead.
Chuck, can you
So
explain the time language you want in this article to the time language in the grievance process?
Okay. Well, in this particular article, if there is going to be anything that exceeds a letter of reprimand, any suspension, any termination, employees are given a notice that that action is intended to follow in 10 days. And the employee is given the option to submit a written response, provide any information they want, just indicate how that would be an error on the part of the university to make that decision. And when those things are submitted, we take a look at those and a decision is made about what to do, whether you proceed with the intended action that was talked about in the notice, whether you change the discipline, and perhaps even abandon the discipline. There are cases that I'm familiar with when someone was notified of termination. There's a case when somebody provided information and instead of a termination, there was a letter of reprimand. Another case where someone was told they were going to be terminated, they provided documentation was quite convincing and there was no discipline whatsoever as a result. So that 10-day period is very important. And it's an opportunity for us to make sure that we get that right. After the decision is made to discipline someone, whether it's a reprimand or a suspension or a termination, they have 30 days from the date that they are of the actual action, not the notice of the intention of the action, but the actual action to file a grievance according to Article 20. And then the grievance process starts from there. Now, I want to piggyback on something that Dan said. When we're talking about a very egregious situation, and I don't even want to try to mention one. I mean, there have been cases of, for example, sexual misconduct. Where an employee is having inappropriate contact with a student. When that notice is sent out, they have 10 days to respond. That a person who is having inappropriate sexual contact with students simply cannot continue. And, you know, that's an example of a case where things can happen pretty quickly and a good case can be made that this adversely jeopardizes the safety and welfare of students.
To clarify, the situation you just mentioned, Chuck, would not fall under this language. It would be just an immediate termination.
They'd still have the 10-day notice, but even under the original language, that's a case where the welfare of students is in jeopardy. What I want to talk about is
that. But you're checking to answer my question. So in that specific case you mentioned, this language wouldn't apply because something else would be triggered? That's what I'm trying to get at.
No, this language would apply.
Well, okay. It would apply, but they would still get a due process, right? Because I mean,
they could still grieve. They could still grieve.
Because. You know, if there's a complaint about sexual harassment, I know that has to be verified because anybody can make a complaint, right? But you have to have enough evidence to show that really happened. Isn't that the case?
Well, those things are investigated, and I'm not going to go into all the details of this case, but when
this is the language from before, right? This is all the old, and we were proposing to striking the whole thing, but this is where the provision where a decision has to be made if it's 6 months or less, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. So there's the changes that we accepted the language from the UFF, in a sense, to use a little bit more of a scalpel on it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you've done. That basically what you're saying is that we have this possibility of up to 6 months, that what was bothering me was that, of the arbitrariness, because somebody may be given, 15 days and somebody may be given 6 months. And then, so what you're saying, Chuck, is that that can also be grieved.
It can. And I'd like to say one more thing, if I may, another example. And this is related to, something that Dan had said. A lot of the cases that we may deal with, an employee has been subject to progressive discipline. And it is common when someone is disciplined that they are notified that additional misconduct, further misconduct, repeated behavior may be subject to additional discipline up to and including termination. That's a common thing for it to say. So even if someone hasn't specifically been put on notice that a particular date has been set, there are certainly reminders that people could be subject to much more serious discipline if things were to escalate, if there's additional misconduct, repeated behavior. Those kinds of things are covered. So we're not, again, I want to make it abundantly clear. We are not talking about a first offense, a minor offense, and saying we want to give this person 10 days notice and that's it. That's not what we're talking about. When there is a very egregious violation, or when we've had multiple instances of progressive discipline, and we think it's time to take action, it isn't that the person has no clue that this may be coming. That if I'm told, Chuck, you better not do this anymore, whatever it may be, and I continue to do it, or if I do it on a grander scale, in the future, I don't think it's a surprise that that I would be subject to additional discipline. So we are simply not talking about personnel actions that are taken out of the blue. There's even if there's not a lengthy notice period, there's certainly been in almost all cases ample warning. An egregious violation is serious enough, action could be taken pretty quickly. And the current language in the CBA allows for that. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, this is what we're proposing. Right. Sure. We think this is sensible, and we appreciate how I think we're kind of converging on something here, and I appreciate the comments that you've made about examples, and we certainly don't want to see somebody just terminated for a minor offense. They back into a parking spot or something like that, and they're terminated. That's not at all what we're talking about here. So, Talat, it sounds like that may be an article that you and your team will want to talk about
right
in caucus. Mm-hmm. The next thing I wanted to bring up is Article 26. And Article 26 is the article that covered the UFF payroll deduction. And our proposal is to strike the language in the article, but do what we had done with at least one of our appendices, I believe it's Appendix B, is say that this space is reserved, but for the time being, at least it's intentionally blank.
Is this something, again, that if the state law changes, we can revert back to it? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Well, certainly if the state law changes, that's going to be something that would be a subject of bargaining. But with these state laws and potential changes. We don't know what the change is going to be. It isn't necessarily going to be simply striking the new law. There may be a new law, a revision that changes Sure. what we have to do. So, you know, certainly if collection of dues by the university became something that was feasible, certainly the UFS has the right to bring that to us and ask that it be a subject of negotiation. And, you know, that's part of the logic behind reserving this space. I have no indication, I know nothing that suggests that that would be changing, but we could be ready to go pretty quickly if that were to happen. And again, it would depend on exactly how the law changed.
So, Chuck, in that case, I know that we say reserved intentionally blank. Could we leave it with the way it is, with it crossed out? I mean, could we just accept it like the way it is?
I'm going to ask my attorney.
It looks a little strange.
Talat, I'm happy to like give you my thoughts and then talk to our team, but I'm not sure what that would do. Like, it would still be that, like, this, the whole reason for this is because of statute. There's a, like, I think Chuck talked about it. There's currently a statute in place that I think came in place in July of 2023 or became effective there that says, you know, dues can't be deducted. So the point is to strike this language because we can't legally do that. Just having the lines in place wouldn't necessarily make sense. It's just showing what was previously there and what was stricken. I'm not sure that that would achieve. I'm not presuming to say what your goals are. That's not my intent. I'm not sure that would achieve anybody's goals. Like, the late deductions can occur right now. So we have proposed removing that language. If the question by you in a nutshell is what happens if there's a subsequent change to the current law that is prohibiting dues deductions, I mean,
Then we don't have to look for the language.
What's that?
We will then not have to look for the language.
The statute, that's under the premise that the statute that's in place is just removed. As Chuck said, the law could change for a variety of reasons. I am not aware of any like legal challenges to that statute, but let's say there was a legal challenge and the court issued something. I see Robert's hand, so when I'm done.
He's the historian.
But my only point is, like, from my end, I would think if there was a change to the law, we could always come back and talk about what to do from there. But this is different than what we're going to get to on 19 and 20. I think it's different than the current status of arbitration, but happy to answer more. But Robert might have something very insightful to say, and we can go from there. So, Robert, I see your hand.
I'm committed to saying nothing insightful. So be prepared. Okay. Now, Chuck, you might have mentioned this, and maybe I missed it, but so if this is blank, are you imagining that somewhere down the road, if there's the need for a new article, a new language on something we can't predict right now, it would become Article 26, or is Article 26 going to be indefinitely blank?
There's nothing that I know of on the horizon that would be a new article that could take this place. So it might be blank for a while, depending upon what happens with the state. By leaving it blank, one of the advantages that I see is some of the bookkeeping that needs to be done with the other articles. If we take this article out and don't leave a blank page or a blank portion of a page, there's a lot of other editing that we have to do in order to get the CBA completely correct. So
we'd have to reorder it, is what he's saying. And that
well, not just well, renumbering. It is. Yeah. We might not reorder anything, but it'd be renumbering.
I would much rather leave a page than renumber.
Thank you, Talat.
Look at that, a coming to agreement.
but Chuck, there would be nothing like if you or we came up with a genius idea for an article, there would be nothing stopping us from a brand new Article 26, right?
Correct. Correct.
That was my question.
Yes, absolutely. That's
this could be could an happen. Article for the faculty club.
I suppose potentially.
Okay.
If that becomes a mandatory subject of bargaining, yes.
We should leave some hope in there.
So anyhow, that's our proposal to handle that article like we did Appendix B. Okay. Leave it in place. We may never use it again. And go from there. So, and I'll say, you know, as we go to caucus in a little while, that may be something else that your team can address. I'll be honest again, you know, we're hoping that we come to closure on some of these things today. And that seems to be one that's not terribly controversial.
No.
Just because the law changed, we are not permitted to collect dues. There's no reason to include that, but certainly leaving a space that might work for some future article, and also leaving a space that means we don't have to do any renumbering of articles and look for little references throughout the CBA that point to some of the articles after 26. We just don't have to do that. So if you want to say Chuck is lazy and that's why he proposes, that's fine. We can do that. The next thing I'd like to...
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get back to you on this. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. What I'd like to do next is take a look at the articles that we had proposed that are related to arbitration. And I know, Talat, at some point you said you've got something to share with us on Article 20. And we look forward to hearing about that. Just in the way of history, when we got together for the first time after the new laws took effect on July 1st, I think it was in August, we got together. We proposed six articles that we thought needed to be changed. And we took a scalpel to those articles. And if the word arbitration or mediation was there, we just took it out. And as we discussed those, and we shared those with you in the fall, as we kept thinking about those and talking to Craig and others in the general counsel's office, I realized that there may be some times when arbitration is still permitted by law, that there are certain things, employee actions, employment decisions that are not subject to arbitration now, but there are some things that might be subject to arbitration. So we said we need to take another look at those articles and allow for that possibility that there may be some instances where arbitration might be permitted and appropriate. So in January, when we came back in the new year, we shared with you new versions of those six articles based on our broader understanding of what the new legislation meant for arbitration. And for example, I'm going to ask Charlie to put up Article 2. And I believe near the toward the bottom of Article 2, we had proposed striking the words "and arbitration" originally in August, and then in January we asked that they be restored. Effectively, what word doing here by saying that we think arbitration may be appropriate and lawful and permitted under some circumstances, we're proposing status quo on Article 2 here. I mean, that's what that means. If we agree, if your team, Talat, and our team agrees that there may be instances where arbitration would be permitted, then Article 2 could be status quo.
That's good. Yeah.
And we're done with Article 2. So that's, I'd ask that, you know, at your caucus that you consider, you know, our proposal for Article 2 to be status quo. So that's one that we think is fairly easy. And then I'm going to ask Charlie to display Article 6, please. And as Charlie's scrolling through here, and here's another place where we had attempted to strike some language. We're restoring it. We're proposing to be restored. In line 53, we think there's a missing word. The word two is missing. And we just want to make that correction. And then for consistency, we wanted to make sure that where articles were named, we used the correct name of the article, put the article number there. And then in line 56, we did something that I believe it affects multiple articles, not just, it doesn't affect Article 2 at all, but perhaps all the rest of these. In Article 9, when an employee challenges their assignment, we have an assignment dispute resolution procedure, an ADR. And in many places, not only in Article 6, but some of these other articles, we are hoping that you will agree with us that the word dispute, since it is what's used when that process, the ADR process, is instituted, we ought to distinguish this dispute that is subject to the ADR process versus a grievance, which is subject to the grievance process in Article 20. So this change, the Article 2 is easy. We're saying we want it to be status quo. Article 6 is a little bit more complicated because we're asking here that you agree with us that incorporating this term dispute to refer to those disagreements that are elsewhere referred to as disputes in the collective bargaining agreement.
Which articles do we refer to? Do we have disputes in?
Well, as we're going to be cycling through them right now, so we're going to find them all. But I think it may be the rest of them. The rest of the collection of six articles that deal with arbitration.
So by disputes, you mean cases in which things haven't gone to grievance yet. Is that right?
No, I mean it's basically a grievance about one's assignment. But we have a special process in Article 9 that's called the Assignment Dispute Resolution process. I just want to, I'm suggesting, our team is suggesting that we call things subject to that process disputes, because that's what the name suggests. We have a grievance process for grievances. We have an assignment dispute resolution process for these disputes. So team agrees with me, this is just clearer. So,
and you can talk about this in the caucus to, see if you're willing to head for TA on this.
And dispute, and that is also in the same, the dispute resolution, where does it appear for the first time? I guess you're going to show us somewhere.
Well, it appears for the first time. The word dispute appears now for the first time in Article 6, but the assignment dispute resolution process is in Article 9.
Okay.
Okay, I think that covers everything in Article 6. Charlie, can you put up Article 11? And in Article 11, you know, we've got a restoration of the word arbitrator, which we had proposed earlier, be taken out. We've incorporated this idea of a dispute and using the term disputant instead of grievant when the person associated with the dispute is talked about. There was one other thing that we had shown you before in 11.7 that is something we really need to take care of, because if something is a public record, it becomes a public record at any point. We can't destroy it. We can't do away with it. We can't remove it, but we can put notes on it that say this letter of reprimand was invalidated or overturned or whatever. That we don't pull the letter out because it was an official document. It was a public record at one point, but we make sure that if there are any subsequent changes to its status, that those are included in the file along with the original document. So we just, I appreciate Craig's guidance on this, that we were setting ourselves up for problems if we would start to remove public records from files. So this says we're not going to remove anything. We're just going to make sure that we update things and put any markings that are appropriate on any of these documents that are in the file. And we had talked about that in the fall. And down in the late 40s, the lines in the late 40s, we got the dispute again. And also, you know, the restoration of arbitrators. And is there anything on the next page, Charlie? That's it. We're done with Article 11. So, so far, Talat, you know, what we're showing here in these first three articles, there was a word that we wanted to add in Article 6. There's a thing about the public records that we think we need to take care of in Article 11. Sure. And then in both cases, in 6 and 11, we're introducing the words dispute and disputant, and they will be elsewhere. But otherwise, it's really no change. It's very, very minor things that we're proposing.
It's fine.
And I am, at this point, going to turn things over to Craig to talk to us about Articles 19 and 20.
Do you want to hear our proposal first, or you want to present? I mean, it's okay. Maybe that's fine to present.
I guess I'd propose that we present, and then we're very fine. When we get to 20, we're very interested to hear what you have to say. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Talat, I'll be pretty quick because this is based off of and very similar to what we proposed in January. So for Article 19, I believe our only proposed change is this footnote that was already included in January of in January when we did it. We did notice that language or that word should be status. So that was typographical. I believe on the second to last line, you all in February had proposed some changes to where we had the word shall open negotiations. I wasn't, and our team not comfortable with your proposed changes. I'm not sure, but it seemed like your issue is with the word negotiations. I can tell you what our goal was. And if you want to put the word bargaining in there, that could be different. But what the goal is for both 19 and for 20, which I'll discuss in a moment, is to keep it as status quo as much as possible to the extent permitted by law. But as we've talked about numerous times, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, arbitration will be prohibited. But again, not all. Or I see you wanted to say something. So if you go ahead.
But Craig, you already said something which I think would solve the problem. You just said open negotiations to keep the status quo to the extent possible. I think you said something to that effect. And I think that's what we all...
I don't think I said open negotiations to keep the status quo. What I'm trying to say is we have tried to limit proposed revisions to 19 and 20 as much as possible to keep the status quo. So what we have done on 19, and I guess, Charlie, can we go to 20? It might be easier for me to describe in 20 because 19. So if we go down, 20 is basically staying the same. We have that same footnote, and then we've also added a language down in whatever subsection it is, getting into 20.8. We've added G. Bear with me, and I can...
Is it here?
And if before we get that below, I'll come back to that. I'm now going out of order, but
I just don't know where you want to be. That's all.
That's go down to, right there. Okay. 20.8G. We have that same language, basically that was in 19 in the footnote. And again, Talat, when you look through, and I'll go back up, but basically we have kept 20 primarily the same, but we have noted that to the extent that arbitration is prohibited by statute, if the university, and again, we won't know until we get the specific issue that's being grieved, that in that instance, the language speaks for itself, but Article 3 won't apply and Article 2 will now be the final agency disposition. So two things to point out to hopefully answer your questions. If the statute 1001.741, the one that's barring the arbitration in a number of instances, you've asked or inquired what happens if that goes away and changes. And my position would be, I don't know, because I don't know how it would change. But that said, let me say it this way. If arbitration is not barred by statute, then it exists in our current format. It goes to step three. Like the arbitration is only, we only don't get to step three, if I'm saying that clearly, if it's barred. So sure. So it already exists and goes back sure. to that. And all we're trying to say by the footnote is to clarify that where it is barred, the university will use step two as its final agency disposition. And also, if the law is changed or amended, we'll agree to come to the table, because we don't, it might be come to the table and nothing needs to be done because if it just got removed, but not knowing what it is, it's just kind of an automatic reopener that if it's changed, we'll agree to come back. So that was the goal with G. Now, as I go out of order and go backwards, Charlie, if you can move to 20.8F2, I can show the other changes. I think that's up a bit to page.
That was on the choice of the arbitrator.
Kind of like line 243. So this is about the panel. So that was our change that we proposed, but the prior change, but that was already proposed in January. And then at our last conference or our last session, I brought up that I think we need some changes to how we address the panel. And what I've proposed and what our team has proposed is adding a section here to section two that it kind of modifies what was previously the first paragraph of section three, but it's cleaner in two sections, and basically saying within 90 days of this agreement, whenever we come to it, we'll meet to update our panel, including conditions for persons to serve on the panel. And we can talk about that at that meeting, but things that, as I relayed to you before, I think that are going on in our mind is updating the panel to make sure people are actually still alive and practicing, making sure that they live in Florida and or are willing to travel to Florida to serve in our arbitration at no expense to us, and agreeing to prices, those type of things that benefit both of us because we're splitting the costs in arbitration. And also we can potentially talk about if we want to use a list of arbitrators, which I had about a year ago, come up with an updated list and talked with the statewide UFF. I could re-present that to you all, and or we could talk about a potential panel. But I think that the language in the new section two covers the ability that we would have that subsequent meeting to update the panel. And then the second sentence here in the new section two is that we're going to agree to meet each fall, basically as a reopener. We just need to update the panel because things, or agree that the panel is good as it is, but it changes. And both sides just need to do a better job of that. And again, right now, candidly, there's probably not going to be too many arbitrations based on the current status of the law, but it's a, again, to your point, if there is any, or if the law were to change where this would be the language that's already in place. So that is our goal with section, I guess, 20.8F2. And then I had one other, we had one other proposed change in section, I guess, 20.8, what now is 6. It was previously 20.85, but with the addition of that section 2, it becomes 6. And it's just a clarification that the arbitration would occur on main campus. It previously says in the city where the grievant is employed. We just, given the nature of everything, wanted some, and it still keeps the unless otherwise agreed by the party. So if there are unique circumstances or whatever, it can still be discussed, but it just clarifies. I think that language was old, and all of the the ones that I've been here, again, only in 2 years, have been on the main campus. But when reading the language, we just wanted to clarify that that's where the arbitration would occur otherwise, unless otherwise agreed by the parties. So those are our changes. Of course, if you, our proposed changes, again, I want to say that the change, as Chuck already relayed, from where we talked in August when we started to what we put forth in January and now today, our goal is to make as little changes as possible while complying with the law. If to keep status quo as much as possible. That I don't think I've missed anything else. One other thing in this section 6. Charlie, I apologize. On in 20.86, right there, I think. On it was the same section. If you,
I'm sorry, I'm going to say
line 308 and 309. Line 308 and 309. Talat and UFF team. Proposed adding that language. And the only reason I've added that language, so you are aware of why I've added that. It currently, there's language in this section 6 and section 7 that's like very legalese about what chapters will apply and what rules will apply. And I've tried not to make changes to that because I don't want to overcomplicate things. But if you look at the sentence where that language is, and it beginning with the word, the decision, it says, where it begins with accept. Except as expressly specified in this article, the provisions of the Florida Arbitration Code, Chapter 682, Florida Statutes, shall not apply. And then next sentence, sorry. Except as modified by the provisions of this agreement, it previously said arbitration proceedings shall be conducted in accordance with the rules and procedures of the American Arbitration Association. I proposed adding, or if modified by the terms included in the conditions for a person to serve on the arbitration panel. The reason that I do that is I'm not proposing a change unless, let's say we have our meeting and we decide to use a panel other than the AAA, or other than AAA being the American Arbitration Association, or other than a group of 9 people that we just pick. We decide to use JAMS, which is another agency, or and there are other agencies out there, and they have their own rules. In that event, I just wanted to leave the possibility that we might, in our discussions, adopt those rules. I'm in no way saying or proposing that we do so. I was just trying to give us the ability, if we wanted to do so. So that was the only reason for that additional language. Not trying to make a change, just trying to give us the option if we have a reason to at a later time. That now I'm done with Article 20, but I know that you have some proposals yourself.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good. We'll certainly take a look at that. And let's see.
Can I be rude and interrupt for one moment?
Sure.
On Article 19, just in the interest of full disclosure, there were some changes that we had proposed in Article 19 that had to do with consistency with Regulation 3.018 on the conflict of interest, conflict of commitment reporting. So that was proposed by us in August. They're still out there, but wanted to remind you that in the event that your team is talking about that during caucus.
We're familiar. Yeah, okay. We are aware.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you. Sure.
My apologies, Chuck. So those were already put forth and I just skipped over
them. We're good. Yeah. We're good.
All right. Sorry, everybody. All right.
No. That's fine. Okay. I think, Chuck, are you all done with yours? Or you have one more, I think.
Thank you very much, Todd. You're up.
Good. Okay.
The agenda, you had nine also.
Yeah, well, I thought since we had talked about Article 20, now would be a good time.
If we do that, okay. So if I may share screen, it says host disabled participant screen sharing. Host is to allow that. It's there now. Okay. So we didn't want this directly in Article 20. We're talking about so many things, so we could go one step at a time. And I see where, Craig, I see where you're coming from, and I think it makes sense. We'll talk a little bit in our caucus and then see what we need to do there. What we wanted to talk about is, and this is something that we have also been talking to other campuses, and so remember we had also presented some different models. So the question now is, that it's good, we're keeping arbitration in Article 20, but then of course we realize that there are cases where it's going to be not possible because of state law. So in those cases where arbitration is prohibited by state law, what we would like to recommend, and we can I can read through here, and we will of course give it to you, and we'd like you guys to take a look and see what you make of it, and if some changes need to be made. So this would be a discussion, and so we thought we'll present it to you. Okay, so this is essentially something to replace step three, which right now step three is arbitration, right? And in a number of cases, arbitration is not allowed. I mean, some cases that's not allowed. So when it is not allowed, we thought this language that FIU has been looking at seems to be reasonable. And so what they're calling it, we don't have to call it that, neutral internal resolution of policy dispute by a panel. So if the complaint has not been satisfactorily resolved at step two, UFF may, upon the request of the complainant, proceed to neutral internal resolution of policy disputes by a panel by filing a written notice of the intent to do so. Notice of intent to proceed to neutral internal resolution of policy disputes by panel must be filed by the president or designee within 45 days. We can talk about all that. After receipt of step two decision by the complainant's step two representative, and shall be signed by the complainant and UFF president or designee. Then the The complaint may be withdrawn by the complainant or by the UFF president or designee at any point prior to issuance of panel's decision. Issues of applicability. The party shall stipulate to the issues prior to the hearing before the panel. If the parties are unable to stipulate to the issues prior to hearing, party shall proceed to a hearing or applicability of this procedure based on either procedural or substantive concerns, which is applicability. Issues of applicability shall be bifurcated from the substantive issues and, whenever possible, determined by means of a hearing conducted by a conference call. The panel shall have 10 days from the hearing to render a decision or applicability. If the process is just to be applicable to the complaint, the panel shall then proceed to hear the substantive issues in accordance with the provisions of this policy. There's a lot of lawyer language, so I'm sure Craig would love it, but I'll read. Okay. Selection of a panel, that's important. Within 14 days after receipt of the Step 3 form by the university, representatives in UFF shall designate their representative to the panel using the method described below. The president or designee shall appoint one member of the panel who shall be a current or former university employee or university alumni. The UFF president shall appoint one member of the panel who shall be a current university employee or university alumnus, it should be. The third member of the panel, that's an important one, shall be a professional labor mediator. Each party shall provide the other party with a list of five potential members for the third member of the panel. Each party shall alternatively strike a potential panel member from the list until one remains, with a coin toss used to determine which party strikes first. No person involved in any business, employment, or other relationship with the university that could reasonably be presumed to create, I guess, a conflict of interest with that person or obligation, that person's obligations as a neutral mediator of disputes involving the university shall be eligible for inclusion as the third member of the panel. All persons designated to the members of the panel shall be able to serve on short notice. In addition, the university and UFF shall jointly provide all panel members with an orientation and training on the policies and the neutral internal resolution of policy disputes procedures. The cost of such training shall be shared equally by the university and UFF. The third member shall serve as the chair of the panel, and then the panel shall be governed by the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. The hearing by the panel shall be held within 60 days following the selection of the panel. Authority of the panel. The panel in the step three of the NERD shall, that's the process here, shall review the final decision solely for the purpose of determining whether it violates the university regulation or the applicable CBA provision and may not consider claims beyond based on equity. The panel should not add to, subtract from, modify, ignore, or alter the terms or the provisions of any BOT UFF policy or the BOT UFF agreement. And that's the NERD policy. This is NERD by a panel shall be confined solely to the application and or interpretation of the BOT UFF policies and the precise issues submitted for neutral internal resolution of disputes. In rendering its decision, the panel shall refrain from issuing any statements of opinion or conclusions not essential to the determination of whether the act or event giving rise to the complaint violated applicable university regulation or policy. Then, when an administrator has made a judgment involving the exercise of discretion, such as decisions regarding promotion under the BOT UFF promotion policy, the panel shall not substitute its judgment for that of the administrator, nor shall the panel review such decision except for the purpose of determining whether the decision has violated BOT UFF policy. The panel shall not have the power to avoid promotion or tenure. If the panel determines that a BOT policy has been violated, the panel shall direct the university to take appropriate action. The panel may award back salary where the panel determines that the employee is not receiving the appropriate salary from the university, but the panel may not award other monetary damages or penalties. If notice that further employment will not be offered is not given on time, the panel may direct the university to renew the appointment only upon a finding that no other remedy is adequate, and that the notice was given so late that A, the employee was deprived of reasonable opportunity to seek other employment, or B, the employee actually rejected an offer of comparable employment which the employee otherwise would have accepted. The panel's decision awarding employment beyond the sixth year shall not entitle the employee to tenure. In such cases, the employee shall serve during the seventh year without further right to notice that the employee will not be offered employment thereafter. If an employee is appointed at the direction of a panel, the president or designee may reassign the employee during such reappointment. Then there is conduct of hearing. The panel shall hold, I think we're almost coming to an end. The panel shall hold the hearing and, aha, there, you know, we have to change that. We'll hold at University of Central Florida unless otherwise agreed by the parties. The hearing shall commence within 25 days of all panel members' acceptance of selection or as soon thereafter as it's practicable. And the panel shall issue the decision within 30 days of the close of the hearing or the submission of briefs, whichever is later, unless additional time is agreed to by the parties. The decision shall be in writing and shall set forth findings of fact, reasoning, and conclusions on the issues submitted. Except as expressly specified in this policy, the provisions of the Florida Arbitration Code, Chapter 682, Florida statutes, shall not apply. Except as modified by the provisions of this policy, neutral internal resolution of policy disputes by panel proceedings shall be conducted in accordance with the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. Effective decision: the decision of or award of the panel shall be final and binding upon the university, the UFF, and the complainant. This is a final agency action. The venue, the purpose of the venue for this is the same thing, a judicial review of the panel decision issued under this policy. The parties agree that such an appeal shall be applied in the courts in Orlando, Florida. I'll change that. Unless both parties specifically agree otherwise in a particular instance. In an action commenced in Orlando, or what is it called, Orange County, neither the university nor UFF will move for a change of venue based upon the defendant's residence. In fact, if other than whatever our counties are, Orange and Seminole. Fees and expenses, all fees and expenses, I think we already talked about that. I won't read it because it will be shared. And then I think retroactivity, a panel's award may or may not be retroactive as the equities of each case may demand. But in no case shall an award be retroactive to a date earlier than 30 days prior to the date the complaint was initially filed in accordance with this policy. So you will, of course, have time to think about it. We didn't, it was, you know, it's, we didn't want to put it in because we're still having this ongoing discussion. I will make those two changes. So this is more, all right, UCF specific. We can make, you know, changes in and all that. But I think since they had already, you know, talked about this for quite some time, and this is something that in they are in the process of adopting, I thought, you know, we thought that we'll bring it up and you guys can also discuss with your partners at FIU and see what they're doing. But it seemed like it offered a way out in those cases where arbitration is not allowed at the moment.
All right. Well, Talat, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We look forward to getting the document itself. So we could actually, I'll take it with Miami-Dade in it, frankly.
Well, actually, I
understand that those things have to be edited.
I did write on top that this is really FIUs and we're doing it here to get ideas.
Now, a question that I have, you seem to preface that as this is what you're proposing as an alternate step three in the process.
Right.
Can I assume that means with step one and two, You're good.
Yeah, I think actually, you know, as we talk about everything, a lot of it is making sense. I don't want to say anything until we have had this caucus, but I see where you're coming from. I see the virtue of keeping everything intact and then basically talking about this arbitration. Then the only thing that leaves us with is, what about those cases where we don't have arbitration, where arbitration is not allowed right now by the state? And this will only be in those cases.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not a wholesale replacement of step three. It's only
those cases where arbitration is not allowed in the state law. And we will also put in that if state law changes, then that's out.
So I guess, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it looks like we have a step one and a step two that we're pretty close on. I don't remember if we've got a couple of minor changes that we had proposed there. And then now we've basically got a 3A and a 3B. Is that a way to characterize your proposal?
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah, I think we're getting pretty close.
Do you think we could have a caucus? I have all this stuff that we talked about from our side ready to send. I put some of them as ready for signature, but for Article 20, I just sent our document that we presented today. So if you can send them to us, then we can talk about that for a caucus, if that's okay. I also have to go to the restroom, so I'm so confused.
That'll be good. I think, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we have a short caucus?
If I may, we got one more article in our package, on the arbitration package, that Dan kindly reminded me of a few moments ago. So I can talk about Article 9, I think, very, very quickly. With Article 9, there really are two major changes that we had proposed. One is this idea that we use the word dispute and disputant when we're referring to the assignment dispute resolution process. And we had also proposed a different step three, because decisions like resolution of assignment disputes, according to the statute, as we understand it, have to be resolved at the presidential level at the institution. What we had proposed is the first step is what it's always been, that the supervisor addresses the assignment dispute with the employee. If that's resolved at that point, fantastic. If it's not, it goes to the dean of the college. And again, we hope that it's resolved very quickly in this process. If it's not, what we had proposed is that a third step, which would replace the outside mediation that we had before, would be an institutional level, that, you know, the president and the president's representative would be the third level on these assignment disputes. The assignment disputes are a challenge because there's a very short fuse on these things. If somebody gets their teaching assignment 6 weeks before the start of the semester in accordance with the language in the collective bargaining agreement, and then they have 14 days, I believe it is, to say, oops, I think this assignment that I was given is unreasonable or arbitrary. I want to submit an ADR. Just those 14 days, that's two of the weeks before the classes are going to start. And then there's this process. So what we were hoping is, with this alternate step three that we proposed for Article 9, that we'd be able to get these things resolved in a timely way. In the time that I've been doing this, which is approaching 10 years, there's only one time we had to go beyond, I think, the supervisor to resolve one of these things. There's only one time we used a mediator, and it's complicated. It's complicated. It takes a lot of time, and you're trying to get this resolved because you got classes starting. So it's very difficult. So we're hopeful that you'd agree that having an additional level internally would allow us to get these things resolved. And I think with one exception, every time there's been an assignment dispute resolution submitted, it's been resolved by the supervisor. These things tend not to go to the step three or even step two anyway. So I wanted to just remind you of that. Now, as we get ready to caucus, and I agree now is a good time to caucus. Charlie's obviously prepared a couple of articles, a few articles that maybe we could sign in TA today, and I certainly hope that happens on those.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I would ask that you consider at your caucus, even if we don't come to agreement on all six of these articles that deal with arbitration, we may be able to come to agreement on some of them. For example, if we say we're going to adopt this word dispute and disputant when we're talking about these assignment disputes and distinguish that from a grievance, that may mean that there's a couple more articles that we could take care of today. We may have some details in, say, Article 9, 19, and 20 to take care of later on to finish everything up. But if we could agree in principle that collectively we're going to refer to those matters of disagreement with regard to assignments as disputes, and the person bringing that dispute as the disputant, I think we could close two or three more articles today, potentially, if we just agree in principle that that's something that we would be willing to do.
Yep. Sounds good. Okay. I think we should go for maybe, 20 minutes?
Okay, that sounds great. We will look forward to seeing you in 20 minutes. I guess, Charlie, you can stop the recording for now and are.
Okay, yeah, we are. So actually, we got through a few of the articles. So we are okay to TA 2, 6, 11, 26, and 9.
And that's 9. Five.
Okay, so they should all be, and did I send all of them to you in a form that you can take care of?
Nine was the one, nine was the one that basically needed that change, right? That's where the disputant comes in.
That's where it originates, and it affects some other articles.
And it's in there's a lot of changes there, but I think there's no substantive change, right?
Right.
The only changes.
Well, in Article 9, we're proposing a difference, an additional step three, a different step three for the assignment dispute resolution procedure. Instead of an outside mediator.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It's the president and president's representative. So we get it done in a timely way.
Yeah. Actually, so 9 is the one we haven't gone through. Very, if it is okay, we're pretty good with it, but why don't we just take a quick look at it just to make sure that, because it will go together with, so I think next time we're ready to do 9, 19, and 20. I think we're very close on those two. We do want you to, 19 is, we are almost okay with it, but 19 and 20 are a package. So, and then 9 would go with it. So let's do 9 and 19 and 20 together. The one that we would like to get an answer from the provost is number 5. And maybe that would clarify it. So if you have number 5, you can put it on. I actually have it right here, so I can put it on my screen. Or do I have it here?
So what would be the question to the provost?
Okay, why don't you, Charlie?
I have 5 right here.
Good, you got it. You had it right there. Okay.
Yes,
so if you read that 5.3, it says academic responsibility. Academic freedom is accompanied by corresponding responsibility on the part of employees. And then it goes to say all that. So the question we want to ask the provost is, what is the administrative responsibility when it comes to academia? Because this whole thing doesn't say anything. It's talking about our responsibility. I mean, the employees' responsibility. But what is the what do they see as their responsibility? Maybe that's just a simple answer to that.
I will speak to the provost about that. Thank you. I understand the question now.
Yeah, because you know we don't have to go through all the details like what we did, but on the other hand, it could be just one sentence saying what is the administrative responsibility when it comes to academic freedom.
So if I heard you correctly, you said 2, 6, 11, and 26, I'll be seeing soon back from you.
And I'll send that to you today, yeah.
I still think that's wonderful progress there. And
yes, it's fantastic.
We're close on 9, 19, and 20.
And 9, I think we're ready to go. We just need to, I just realized that we hadn't gone through it carefully, but then 9 will go with 19 and 20. And we're hopeful that you guys will take a look at what we presented. And if we can come to some agreement there, then we should be good to go with 3 of those.
Okay, that sounds like we've got 7 pretty darn close. 4 for sure. That's good progress.
4
Thank
for
you
sure.
So much. And we'll get to an answer on Article 5.
Yeah. But I did want to ask you something. We had asked last time about PIP. We had asked about, you know, whether, how, oh, yeah. So yes, about PIP. We had asked we were wondering what was the what's the number in which the evaluation was changed by the dean or the provost. So okay. Those are some things that.
Well, the only times that anything has changed is by the provost. The dean is the first person to make a recommendation in post-tenure review. And okay. There's a request that came from the UFF leadership, a public records request that's very similar. At least this is what I've been told, it's very similar. And right now, the folks in the general counsel's office are going through these requests for information to determine what can be released. Because we're dealing with personnel evaluations, if there are questions about person's privacy and how that might be compromised depending upon how this information is shared. Mm-hmm. So for example, I'm going to sound like, yeah, I might sound like I know what I'm talking about and I don't, but I think one of the concerns is suppose things, and this is just an example I'm making up, if these things were reported by college, there are cases where there were so few people going through post-tenure review that it would effectively identify those individuals. Mm-hmm. And that could be a problem. So the people that know about public records rules and know about the importance of maintaining confidentiality of personnel evaluations are looking at that. So I'm not able to address that today, but what I'm expecting is that there will be there may be some information that is released, and the same information we release to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we understand the question, and
okay.
I did speak to Janet Jasinski about that at length.
Okay.
I've got a question I wanted to ask as
sure.
Well. Did you and your team have an opportunity to talk at all about 16?
Yes, we did. And 16 is the one we're not comfortable with because it leaves it open, that arbitrariness that is there. So that is something that we are wondering how we can, you know, what we can do so that we can come close to what you're saying. Because we want to protect people who, for whom, you know, this is not an egregious, what they have done is not egregious. We would like them to get a certain number of months. And this leaves it open because they could not be given anything. They could be given 2 weeks. They could be given, so there's no minimum. we don't specify a minimum. We just say the maximum can be 6 months. So before it was that they will get at least 6 months. Now we're saying up to 6 months, but up to 6 months will be 0 months.
Okay, and so we'll take a look at that as well.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's okay. The one that people were most opposed to.
And I think I said this earlier when we talked about 16. I just want to verify the only thing that's in dispute on 16 is that statement in 16.7 about the notice period. Everything else is good.
Right. That's it. Yeah. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Okay. That's helpful to know that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And also knowing that the current state of Article 16 is that there is that band between no minimum and a maximum of 6 months. So that's not changed. Okay.
No. Yeah. That if, I mean, cases where, you know, it's clear, then the precedent determines it, there will be zero. But in other cases, it would be 6 months. At least 6 months. Yeah. So that's what it is.
Okay. One thing that we had suggested to you this morning in the agenda that we distributed has to do with Article 3, and in particular, the request that that you had made for office space. Not prepared today to give a final response on that, but have been doing some investigation and a lot of thinking about this. And I'm just going to be frank. I actually think what you have right now, the language you have right now, which is completely silent, is a good deal for you. What I said last time is right now there's no intention of taking that office away from you. There's nothing that I know of. I did say, and I'll repeat it, if we end up hiring so many employees that we need office space for employees, that could be a time when that office is taken away. If there's something that's in the CBA, it actually draws attention to the office where right now you're kind of left alone. There are very few people who know about that office and know that it could be an office that's reclaimed at some point. So I just wanted to mention to you, as I thought about this over the last couple of weeks, I think you're in a pretty good position right now. And I mentioned that just to encourage you to think about it as I have. Are there advantages to what we have now? And I'm continuing to entertain, you know, what we might do in terms of language. But part of me is saying, in a lot of ways, I feel like I'd be hurting you with anything I put in there, because now everybody knows that office is there and could recognize here's an opportunity to reclaim an office that we might need. At some point, that could happen anyway. But I think the language in the CBA, if there is language about an office in the CBA, it draws attention to it.
No, I understand what you say. I know we're getting late and we only have 2 minutes, but I wanted Robert to just say what he saw at FIU.
Before I say that, I mean, Chuck sounds like he's aware of some union busting happening. Maybe he could tell us a little bit more. But Chuck, no. I was at FIU that has the language in their CBA, and their union office is palatial. All right. It's big, it's large, it has a conference table, it has about, I think, 12 chairs that go around it. It's got a refrigerator, it's got a blackboard in there or a whiteboard where you could write on. It's got two computer stations so they can have meetings, and it's in their administration building. It's on the bottom floor of the administration building, right? So it's not kind of a little kind of closet in the bottom of a building that was built within 2 years of the university.
No,
so that's the kind of relationship.
Although Millikan Hall was built really earlier. I shouldn't say that.
Well, I guess I need all that space to have the meetings of the panel that are doing the step three hearings.
Or maybe they're just kind to the union and very considerate, possibly. That's the way I'd like to think of it. They value the union and they value their work.
And imagine having it in the same building. So actually, we are not looking for an office in any old building. We're looking for an American Hall. So you may take the word back to them.
Well, we're going to continue to to look at that. And I thank you for sharing, what's happened at FIU. And I haven't seen the office, but from the sounds of it, it is palatial. And I looked at other CBAs around the state. There are other places where an office is included. It's not the only place. FIU is not the only place. Mm-hmm. But we're going to continue to look into it. I just point out that it could draw some attention.
To give you a sense, Chuck, we could not put a coffee machine in the office now. It's so tight. Space is so tight.
Does anyone want to talk about what we're going to work on next time? Or?
Well, the thing we need to do is agree on when we're going to meet next time.
Actually, if you guys can't do it, maybe I'll just have Robert.
I think we can.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Craig, would you be able to meet on the 21st of May?
And 21st, we could also meet in person. I will be in Orlando, so if you want to meet in person, we can do that. That may be harder.
So we're not doing.
Not if we move the meeting, because I won't be able to get the space this fast. I think we'll leave it on Zoom for the next one.
Well, why don't we meet in the union office?
What date? What date is that again?
We'll meet at FIU.
Are you gonna have coffee?
No, we can't. We can't fit one in there, Chuck. That's the point. We'll move you on three. We'll move you to our position.
We'll get a bus to FIU and we'll go do turn on that.
Thanks, folks.
I think we can meet on the 21st. What I'd like to do is see if we could agree on a time. I don't know that
you tell us.
The morning of the 22nd looks better for me than the afternoon.
21st, you mean, right?
Of 22nd, I could do the morning. Morning, I could do before.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah, before 11, I could do.
All right, let me.
I could do before 11. Yeah.
So tomorrow you're talking 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. is fine.
I could do that.
Okay.
I thought I heard Craig offer to bring donuts. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
No, Robert. No.
I want to see how that works if we have a virtual meeting and Craig's bringing donuts.
No, Slot's going to be here.
Well, but we don't know that we can get a room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're going to the union office. We'll have chairs outside.
Oh, chairs.
If you can't get a room that soon, I'm out of town that week, but the next week I'm here. If you need it 2 weeks, in person would be nice. The week of the 27th might be better.
I'll move the meeting to 9 a.m. on the 22nd. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Just keep it virtual because it's super easy to move.
Let's just do that.
10,000 things about that events calendar and stuff. Because I didn't know this too.
And Dan, I'm sorry if you can't make that particular time. We're really trying to focus on keeping these meetings moving, and I'm reluctant to wait a week. I'd rather have you here. I'd rather have you participating in the conversation with us.
I'll try to zoom in.
That'd be great. Dan.
Thank you.
And Craig, I'll take a rain check on the donuts.
Okay. All right, the last thing I'll mention, since Charlie wanted us to mention this, we're anticipating that we will bring a a couple of articles next time. I'm not sure what they are. I'm not absolutely certain. One of them may be Article 10. That's a possibility, but I'm not guaranteeing that's what it'll be. But we will try to bring at least two articles with us haven't touched yet.
And do take a look at 20, that what we presented.
Yes, absolutely. Have you emailed that to us yet, Talat?
And not yet, but I'll do it right away. I'll take the Miami. I'll leave the Miami-Dade in there.
It's okay. We understand.
Yeah, you understand. Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. Robert, you have it with you. You can also. I'll email it. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right, well, guys.
Thank you, everybody.